On the show today, special delivery.
Instant delivery, instant logistics, the ability to teleport something.
In this case, we're talking about shipping life-saving treatments within hours, even minutes.
Using autonomous aircraft to deliver medicine to thousands of hospitals and health facilities all over the world.
And when you say autonomous aircraft, you're basically talking about using drones, right?
Technically, they are drones. They're autonomous.
This is Keller Rinaldo. He's the CEO and founder of the drone delivery company, Zipline.
Usually when someone says drones, someone thinks of kind of like an annoying quadcopter hovering in their backyard. And these are definitely very different kinds of machines and tools.
These drones look more like miniature airplanes, each with a wingspan of about 10 feet. They can travel up to 60 miles per hour. And when they arrive,
the plane will descend to about 30 feet off the ground. And then we drop the package using a really simple paper parachute.
Floating down from the sky are packages containing supplies like vaccines, insulin, PPE, and even blood. One of the first places these drones were used was Rwanda.
You know, the first time it happens at a hospital, like patients are climbing out of their beds to see it. People are, you know, totally shocked and thinking it's so cool and total science fiction. And I remember one doctor told me it's as though Jesus Christ himself is delivering blood out of the sky. And so it's definitely a really cool event that first day that we do a delivery. And I think it stays kind of magical and sci-fi for about 7 days. And then it is completely boring and nobody cares at all. In fact, I had one doctor and she looked at her watch and looked at me and said, it's 30 seconds late. Which, you know, is amazing and is totally deserved and fair. It shouldn't have to be a sexy technology that people are focused on, because it isn't. It's just logistics. It's something that people can depend on with their lives. Doctors and nurses rely on it to do their jobs. And, you know, we love the fact that a system like this can just fade into the background and be something that people come to expect.
So can you just tell me, though, about Rwanda? Like, why did you start testing out your drones there?
We were pretty sure we wanted to focus on a country with a public healthcare system. We knew we needed a government that wanted to move quickly and be innovative. And Rwanda, by far, was the country that actually moved the fastest. That would not have happened in the United States in 2015 or 2016. Bigger countries tend to move slower. Also, the United States has a private healthcare system rather than a public healthcare system, which just makes it a lot harder.
And was part of the reasoning for changing that system, like, did it have to do with roads or infrastructure in Rwanda?
That's a great question. That's actually one of the biggest misconceptions, I would say, about what we do. The vast majority of the 2,500 hospitals and health facilities we serve have pretty good roads to them. The benefit is instant logistics. I remember, you know, visiting the Minister of Health of Rwanda. And at that time, I was saying, hey, you know, Zipline will deliver all different medical products to all 500 hospitals and health facilities in the country. It'll enable teleportation from the central medical store. And I remember the Minister of Health, she looked at me and said, Keller, shut up. Just do blood.
Here's Keller Rinaldo on the TED stage.
So why is blood important? Rwanda collects between 60 and 80,000 units of blood a year. So this is a product that when you need it, you really, really need it. But blood is also challenging because it has a very short shelf life. There are lots of different storage requirements, and it's really hard to predict the demand for all of these different blood groups before a patient actually needs something. But the cool thing is that using this technology, Rwanda has been able to keep more blood centralized and then provide it when a patient needs something to any hospital or health center in an average of just 20 or 30 minutes. So when a patient's having an emergency, a doctor at that hospital can send us a WhatsApp telling us what they need. And then our team will immediately spring into action. We pull the blood from our stock. We scan the blood into our systems, and then we'll basically pack it into a Zip, which is what we call these little autonomous airplanes that run on batteries. And then once that Zip is ready to go, we accelerate it from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in about half of a second.
How were they getting blood delivered prior to your arrival, these hospitals? Like, what was the problem?
So The way these systems work today, and this is true even in the United States, which will blow your mind, is that, you know, We do big blood drives. Blood is collected from donors, taken to a central place where it's tested and typed. Once that's done, in Rwanda, it was distributed to 4 different regional blood transfusion centers. And then when hospitals needed to transfuse patients, a nurse or doctor would get into a car, drive several hours to the regional center for blood transfusion, wait in line, sign forms, get the blood, put it into the back of the car, drive back. And obviously, if you're someone having a medical emergency in one of those hospitals and you need a blood transfusion, every minute can be the difference between life and death.
A couple months ago, a 24-year-old mother came into one of the hospitals that we serve, and she gave birth via C-section. But that led to complications, and she started to bleed. Luckily, the doctors had some blood of her blood type on hand, and so they transfused her with a couple units of blood, but she bled out of those units in about 10 minutes. In this case, that mother's life is in grave danger in any hospital in the world. But luckily, her doctors who were taking care of her immediately called our distribution center. They placed an emergency order, and our team actually did emergency delivery after emergency delivery after emergency delivery. They ended up sending 7 units of red blood cells, 4 units of plasma, and 2 units of platelets. That's more blood than you have in your entire body. All of it was transfused into her. The doctors were able to stabilize her, and she is healthy today.
That is an incredible story. But I guess, you know, on the flip side, there are less altruistic ways that drones are being deployed by governments, private companies, for control, for surveillance. How do you reconcile that side of this technology with what you're doing?
Well, I actually think you didn't even bring up the biggest example. I mean, the biggest example would be drones have been used very effectively as weapons of war for decades. And so, you know, that is happening. Like, you know, governments are already using, you know, these kinds of autonomous aircraft as weapons. And so certainly to a certain degree, you know, we benefited from the fact that a lot of research had gone into autonomous aircraft over the last 20 years in order to build things like the Predator drone, which kills people. But, you know, technology has the moral values of the person who is wielding it. And our goal as a company has always been to, like, take this overall technology platform and turn it into something that can make the world a fundamentally more equal place. The idea that you can pull out your phone, talk to a doctor, and the doctor can be like, great, I've diagnosed you, I know exactly what you need, I'm writing the prescription, it's going to be on your doorstep in 5 minutes. That really is the vision that we are pursuing.
That's Keller Rinaudo, founder and CEO of Zipline. You can see his full talk at TED.com. Thank you so much for listening to our show today, Special Delivery. To learn more about the people who were on this episode, go to ted.npr.org. And to see hundreds more TED Talks, check out TED.com or the TED app. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone, Rachel Faulkner, Matthew Cloutier, and Sylvie Douglas. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour. Our production staff at NPR also includes Jeff Rogers, James Delahousie, Deba Motisham, Fiona Guerin, and Harrison Vijay Choi. Our audio engineer is Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Catherine Seifer. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Colin Helms, Anna Phelan, Michelle Quint, and Micah Eames. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.